Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
We might read our Bible and we might go to church and then we call ourselves a Christian, but we don't go out and we don't do anything differently. We don't act any differently than anybody else. And quite honestly, there are a few little places in this message that are going to step on our toes. But I think we need it. I think we need it. So we're going to really, I got this from, the Lord directed me to Philippians 2, 12 through 18, and we're just going to kind of dig in this. Just kind of, really, this is the outline of what I've got to say. So, dear brothers, you always followed my instruction when I was with you, and now that I am away, it is even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. Do everything without grumbling and arguing. Oh me, oh my. So that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Hold firmly to the word of life. Then on the day of Christ's return, I will be proud that I did not run the race in vain, and that my work was not useless. But I'll rejoice, even if I lose my life, pouring it out like a liquid offering to God, just like your faithful service is an offering to God. And I want all of you to share that joy. Yes, you should rejoice, and I will share your joy. First point, we live in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Don't we? You can't watch the news. You can't see anything without coming to that realization. And I know this is kind of even hard topics that we're fixing to talk about, but these are the top six things on Fox News as of Saturday, the top six trending stories. So the first one, stepfather confesses missing four-year-old Houston girl is dead, says body in Arkansas. Dallas PD in triage mode after 40 May murders. Stepmom arrested, set five-year-old's face on fire. Boy, 14, accused in Texas deaths of woman, pregnant daughter. Woman shares terrifying story after being beaten for 8 hours. And Florida woman attacks Burger King manager after being denied free fries. These were the top six news stories. Now, you read this, you cannot tell me that we don't live in a crooked and perverse society. All of this arguing over abortion and school shootings going on and all of this stuff, it should be apparent to all of us that we live in a crooked and perverse generation. And we need to do something about that. So, point two says, work hard to show the results of your salvation. If there are no evident results, then I doubt your salvation. And the reason I say that is because the Bible says, by their fruit, you will know them. We know people are saved by the way they act, by the way they behave. Now, I'm not saying we have to work to be saved, that you do enough good works, you'll be saved. That's not what I'm saying at all. But once we are saved, don't we have to work at it? Because our flesh does not want us to be saved, does it? Our flesh wants to fight it. It's an everyday battle. It's almost like you get saved and you're planted, like my flower garden. I've got flowers out in my flower garden. I planted them. Well, last year the flowers didn't do so well. So somebody said, well, do you feed them? Like, feed them what? I water them. I mean, I don't know if it was my mother or who, but somebody said, well, fertilizer, you know, there's plant food you give them. And I thought, well, maybe I'll try that. Doesn't do too well. Otherwise, some miracle, that's exactly what I have. Yes, I do have some, and I have fed my plants now. So we will see if they survive being in my yard. But, you know, it's like you have to, there's some work involved. Got to keep going out there and feed them occasionally, apparently, is what I'm being told. You have to water them. You have to make sure you have good soil. I mean, there's things that go along with plants that help them to grow. And there are things that go along with salvation that help us to grow. They're just things that we have to do. One thing is we need to be obedient to God, even when we don't really want to. Now, if you are somebody who says, oh, I always want to be obedient to God, I never struggle with anything, well, bless your heart. But there are times when the Lord has told me to do things, and I was like, oh, not that. Please, Lord. Anything. I'll do anything else. Don't make me talk to that person, but I'll, slip them a 10 or something. What do you want me to do? Not that. But we have to be obedient even when we don't really want to. Jonah, the ladies in Bible study, we're studying Jonah, right? Jonah did not want to be obedient when God told him to go to Nineveh. He so did not want to be obedient that he went the opposite direction thinking he could outsmart God. Right? But God said, well, I'll show you. So he had this big storm come up. He prepared a fish. Jonah was in the fish for 3 days. And finally, Jonah decided, okay, I've had enough time in this fish. I'll go do what you want me to do, Lord. We don't want God to put us in a fish, do we? We want to be obedient. And there are times when God tells us to do something, we really don't want to do it. You know what? When we say, Lord, I don't really want to do that, but I'll do it if you want me to. I will, but can you give me the courage? Or can you give me, maybe even a confirmation that this is something I'm really supposed to do? But let me give you a few hints. If it's something that's going to lift somebody up and it's going to further the kingdom, even though it's uncomfortable for you, Satan is not going to tell you to do something that's going to further the kingdom or lift somebody up, right? So it's probably God, right? So we need to be obedient to God, even when we don't want to. We need to get up every day and say, Lord, today and every day, I want to be obedient to you. Help me to crucify this flesh every day and do what you would have me to do. That needs to be the cry of our heart. Obedience to God shows that God is working in you. He's giving you the strength and desire to do his will. Now, I had somebody at work just Friday called me, and we were talking about stuff going on at work, and Friday was like gripey day. Everybody had an issue. Everybody wanted to complain. And I've learned it's just one of those things, Usually people just want you to listen. So it was just one of those things. So I'm talking to this, and I'm telling him, about the day and everything, and because he's asked me a couple of questions. He was our marketing person. And he said, you are so good at dealing with people. You're so calm, and you never get bent out of shape. And you're just so sweet with people. And I just can't understand how anybody would even really be mad at you if they, once they give you a chance to talk to them. And I just started laughing because I said, that is so not me. Wow. I said, what you don't know is that I have a pretty short fuse. I have a temper. And I said, but this, and I told him, I don't even know what his beliefs are or anything. I said, what you're talking about is God. I said, God can change us. God has made me into this person you see, although on the inside I know what I really am, And I said, but that's God at work in the lives of people. That's not a pat on my back. That's God. That's glory to the Lord that he can change us in our dirt and muck and, everything else. He can make a difference in our lives if we let him. Point four, do everything without complaining and arguing. You know what that word everything means there in the Greek? Everything. It means everything. Everything. Okay, let's think about it. Everything without complaining or arguing. We had our corporate bigwigs came into town this week, and they called me in there to talk to them, so I was talking to them. And one of the main guys in the company was saying, yeah, you know, we need to be strategic in planning new centers and stuff, and these two centers are too close to each other. These are the closest two centers we have. And I said, well, no, those aren't the closest two. And he just looked at me. And I said, well, I used to put my mileage down when I went from place to place, and those aren't the closest two. It's these two that are closest to. Well, no, that's not right. He tells me, I think you're wrong. That's not right. And so my flesh wanted to say, I'm not wrong. I'm right. But the Holy Spirit kind of said, he's not going to listen. So just be quiet, right? Don't argue. Just be quiet. So I was quiet. And a little while later, somebody else in the room is looking it up on a map. And he goes, and he's over me too, and he goes, well, what are these two right here? And he goes, oh. And he looked over at me and he goes, I guess you're right. I wanted to say, I know. But I didn't. I just sat there because there is a time not to argue, right? You do not want to argue with the COO of your company. It's not smart. It's not smart. If you'd like to keep a job, shut up. It's not a moral issue. You know, I would argue a moral issue, but that's not a moral issue. So do everything. Think about the last time you complained. When was the last time you complained? You don't have to say it out loud. We need to get better at not complaining. And that's hard because it becomes a habit. You know, you just start talking, you know, I don't like this, I don't like that, you know, and you just, it's a habit, but we've really, the Bible says do everything without complaining or arguing. So let's challenge ourselves. Let's go one day. Let's go 1 hour. One event. There you go. Without arguing or complaining. Because really what we're doing, and I'm guilty and I have to work on this. I'm not standing up here saying I got it together because I don't. But think about your witness. When you're arguing and you're complaining all the time, do people want what you have? No. If you're negative all the time, people don't want that. They don't want to be around that. We've got to be careful that we are letting our light shine and we're watching what we say and we're not complaining and arguing. Hold firmly to the word of life. Hold firmly to that word. Get it inside of you. Clothe yourselves with it. Make sure you know the word. Make sure you're in it every day. It brought to mind, I don't know, a few weeks back, I don't know if you guys saw this on the news, but there was a cruise ship. I want to think it was the Carnival Freedom that lost power in the Gulf for just a couple of hours. But anyway, it's pretty scary, I'm sure, yeah, to the people on the boat because the stabilizers weren't working, and so the boat's kind of, you know. And people were filming other folks on the boat walking around with their life jackets on. Well, I would say that was pretty smart, right? Because that life jacket doesn't do you any good if it's back in your room and the boat starts going down. Be good to have that life jacket on. And to me, the Word of God is like that life jacket. You go through things in life that you think are going to pull you under. And you've got the Word of God in you. You've got the Word of God. You're familiar. You know, you don't have to be able to quote chapter and verse. It would be good if we could all do that. But you need to know what it says. You need to know what's in there. And that is your life jacket that helps you in those times when, you know, the enemy comes against you and tells you something, and you can say, nope, that's not what the Bible says. You know, you can just talk to him with the Word of God. Make him go on his way. Point six, be faithful to God. Let pleasing God be your top priority. Too many times, pleasing other people is our top priority. chasing after money might be our top priority, but let pleasing God be your top priority. Be faithful in relationship with Him. Be faithful in prayer, reading your Bible, church attendance. The Bible says, forsake not the gathering of yourselves together. We need each other, don't we? There are times when I might feel a little down, or I just might, you just kind of feel a little ant some days. And I come to church and I see all your smiling faces and I'm fine. You know? And it may be a day you may even think, you may be depressed about something. So maybe something has happened in your life and you don't want to be around people. But really the best thing you can do on some days like that is to be around people. Because people help build you up, they help lift you up, you know, especially your church family. So be careful that you don't forsake that. Point seven, live clean and innocent lives, shining like bright lights. Do you need to clean your spiritual house? Is there clutter in your spiritual house? And anything can become an idol to us, anything. And we don't even realize it sometimes. What's the first thing you do in the morning? That may be an idol to you. That may be getting in the way of your walk with the Lord. You know, for me, it's some days the first thing I'll do is look at Facebook. See what's happening in the world since I was asleep. But you know what? The Lord's convicted me. The first thing I need to do is open my Bible app. I can look at Facebook later. Right? What's important? What's important? And don't let TV can be an idol. Your computer can be an idol. Your phone, you know, just messing around, playing games on your phone can be an idol. If you're putting it before the Lord, right? We've got to make sure we put the Lord first. And then, if you're blending in, you're not shining. My father-in-law used to say, if it walks like a duck and talks like a duck, it's probably a duck, right? If we walk like the world and we talk like the world, we're probably of the world. We've got to be different. We've got to let our light shine. We have to stand out. So are you using the same language your coworkers use? Or is your language a bit better? Is it more pleasing to God? You know, we've got to, these are things, we don't have to be so concerned with blending in that we look and act just like everybody else. It's okay to be different. It's okay, we should be different. Do you gripe at the waiter when you're in a restaurant and he doesn't get your order right? Or do you simply say, oh, this isn't what I ordered? And that's okay. But don't gripe at him. You know, how are you coming across and how you deal with people? That's important. And we've got to be shining light, like I said, and not blending in. Because most people just gripe. They just gripe. When we let our light shine and shine brightly, we are living our life as an offering to God. And there's joy in that. There is pleasure in being living for the Lord and living our life as an offering to Him. Now, this is when people will see that there's something different in you. If there's a calamity in your life, if something happens, you can get a flat tire. You know, people are like, oh, I got a flat tire. You know, but you know, maybe we should say, oh, well, you know. Things happen, we got a flat tire. That's life. You know, it's fine. It's how you show yourself to be in every kind of thing that life throws your way. People watch us. They see how we act. They see how we behave. And when we are kind to people who are not kind to us, that's another way that people see a difference. Because when somebody is not kind to you, the first thing you want to do is say, well, let me tell you something. Right? But we need to be kind to people, even when they're not kind to us. We've got to be different. That goes against the grain. That goes against our flesh to do something like that. But that's the way we have to be if we want to shine brightly for the Lord. So my question to you guys is, are you blending in with society? Do you grumble and complain daily? Is that a habit for you? Is that something that has turned into a habit? Do you forget to read your Bible? Is it a priority? And is obedience to God a priority in your life? There may be one little thing that I said that you may think, you know, I really need to brush up on that. Maybe this or that is becoming more important to me than it really should be. Maybe I need to clean my spiritual house, free it up of some clutter or something. So I just want, I'm going to pray over y'all and just want you to think about, as we're praying, anything that maybe you need to get right, because that's what it's all about, right? Just get ourselves right before the Lord, keep ourselves right before the Lord. It is work. It is work. So, Father, we just come before you. Father, I praise you. I thank you that you love us so much, that you put these things in your word to lead us and guide us and to help us to live a life that is pleasing to you. And I know that everyone in this room wants to live a life that is pleasing to you. But, Father, there may be some, including myself, who have let things get in the way, let things, that spiritual clutter, Father, in our house. Lord, show each and every one of us what it is that you would have us to deal with, that you would have us to put away. And, Father, give us the strength to do it. Father, we want to be obedient to you. We want to please you. And, Father, we want to shine for you. We want people to say, why are you different? Why did you react like this? Why do you do that? So that it opens a door for us to share our relationship with you. So, Father, I just praise you and I thank you for this time together. Thank you for these wonderful people. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.